verses 30 to... So ridiculous, it's not funny. 30 to 54 of chapter 74. What is chapter 74 called? The deliverance of Shishupal. Okay, so text number 30 onwards. Some interesting points in this chapter. The intolerant son of Dhammaghosh became infuriated upon hearing the glorification of Lord Krishna's transcendental qualities. He stood up from his seat and angrily waving his arms fearlessly spoke to the entire assembly the following harsh words against the Supreme Lord.
In that meeting, King Shripal was also present. He was an enemy of Krishna for many reasons, especially because of Krishna's having scolded him from the marriage ceremony. Therefore, he could not tolerate such honor to Krishna and glorification of his qualities. Instead of being happy to hear the glories of the Lord, he became very angry. Srila Vishnu Chaturthi
mentions... We'll stop there and then we'll go to the first paragraph first. So, what's in the first paragraph? The nature of demoniac personalities. We'll have to shut the door, otherwise we can't concentrate. Can you just close the door, Chaitanya? You can open the windows if you need air. So the nature of a demoniac person, or the nature of the demoniac spirit, is spoken of in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishwaraham aham bhogi Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. So that's the nature of a demoniac consciousness. That when you're in demoniac consciousness, you think yourself as a bogi. Bogi means you want to enjoy the boga. And the boga means the object of enjoyment. The object of enjoyment is for Krishna's pleasure. Just like, you know, we have the bogati, the Rajbhog, and the different bhogas that we offer. It means the object of enjoyment. Right? That is for Krishna. And if when we have demoniac spirit, which is why we are in the material world, we want to enjoy the bhoga separate from Krishna. And that is the nature of being a demon. So that's why Shishupal is categorized as a demon. Because he wanted to enjoy something which did not belong to him. So he wanted to enjoy the future queen of Krishna, Rukmini. But you can't take something which doesn't belong to you and enjoy it. And as long as we keep doing that, we stay in the material world. That's why it is important that devotees always offer their bhoga to Krishna. And we're taught to do that as much as possible. And it's more difficult now in the Kali Yuga to do that because the way we live in nuclear families, it's hard, Many devotees will eat breakfast cereal. You just get cornflakes or Wheat Bix or, whatever, muesli or whatever it is. And, you can offer it to Krishna, but in one level you could offer it to Krishna, on another level you can't offer it to Krishna. It's bhoga. It's, it's not created by, it's cooked by non-devotees. So... It is difficult. But as much as possible, we need to eat things which are offered to Krishna. Because then it purifies the consciousness. We become this secondary enjoyer. We should not think of ourselves as the primary enjoyer. That's demoniac spirit. And the more we do that, the more we take bhoga, which is not offered to Krishna, then the more we become attached to the material world. So therefore... demoniac spirit is within all of us. All of us have demoniac spirit. It says in Kali Yuga, the demon and the devotee are within the same body. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose appearance date is on Thursday, on the Purnima, on Gaura Purnima, he has come to specifically destroy the demoniac spirit. And he has made the process very simple. The process is, you offer your food to Krishna, you take prasad, and you dance, and you chant the holy name. And then it is considered to be purifying. That is the system. So, the nature of the demon is he always wants to take the bhoga. He doesn't want to offer things to Krishna. And as long as we do that, then we will be separate from Krishna. So, any points? Okay. I'll read the second paragraph. Additionally, too.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti mentions that the reason Shishupal did not object when Saradev proposed Krishna for the Agra Puja is that Shishupal wanted to ruin King Yudhishthira's sacrifice. If Shishupal had argued earlier against Lord Krishna receiving the first worship and another person had been selected, the sacrifice would have then proceeded normally. Therefore, Shishupal allowed Krishna to be selected, waited until the worship was over, and then spoke up, hoping in this way to demonstrate that the sacrifice was now spoiled. Thus, he would ruin the endeavor of Maharaj. In this regard, the Acharya quotes the following Smriti reference: Apuja yatra pujyanta pujanam cha rati karma. In the place where those who are not to be worshipped are worshipped, there is offense to those who are actually worshipable. There is also the following statement: Pratipadnatihi shreya puja puja vati krama. Improperly understanding who is to be worshipped and who is not to be worshipped will impede one's progress in life.
So, what are the points in the second paragraph?
Shubha's envious nature is coming up now. So, not only is he envious of Lord Krishna anyway, because he is blaspheming Lord Krishna now, he's going to. But more importantly, he is envious of the Pandavas, the devotees. So, he's almost setting up Maharaj Yudhishthira for failure. Now, this is very typical of. We see that everywhere in Kali Yuga. In office, we see sometimes even. We see outside in personal life also. In our. That and devotees may not get along with one another. So, sometimes one person may want to set the other person up for failure. In office we find it all the time. Devotee settle, there may be less settled. In office we see it all the time. If someone doesn't like you, he will ensure that you are failing. The goal is not to get an outcome, but to, which is good for all, but the goal is very full of vengeance. So Shishupal is carrying that matter. So by studying this, if it is there in our heart, we have to we learn not to be like that. We have that, then we take mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on that. Otherwise, we are not going to get his mercy.
Good. Any other point?
So, this somebody is not qualified to be worshipped is worshipped, and that place is not suitable for devotees to worship.
Then what?
I think that place is not suitable for the devotees. It says that one is unqualified to be worshipped should not be worshipped.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, like in the Dhanimak's temple, you have the deities of the Mahalita or Kali, and then a very small deities of Radha and Krishna. So the when the, we are worshipping someone who is not being worshipped, it happens to the deities who actually worship. That's always happens.
What's the point?
So in the Dhanimak's temple, we always see that there are big deities.
Why so late? Sit down quick. Don't come late like this.
Like in the Dhanimak's temple, you always see the big deities of the demigods like Durga or Kali, and the very small deities of Radha Krishna. So the one who will not be worshipped when it's worshipped, then offense to the other, who is actually worshipped.
Like in the Shiva Vishnu temple?
Yeah, like in the Durga temple also, we went with our parents, and there was a big deity of Durga like in the front, and there was very small deity of Radha Krishna on the other side.
Yeah, that's inappropriate. Yeah, a good point. That's a good point. So we should always offer proper respect to those who are worthy of the respect. It's a part of Vedic culture. It's one of the key elements of Vedic culture, which we've spoken about many times over the years. Vedic culture is based upon offering respect to superiors. That's how we advance in spiritual life. It's a key element to advancing in spiritual life. You have to understand who is your superior, first of all. Who is more advanced than you? If you can't work out who is more advanced than you, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. You know, sometimes we think we're more advanced than someone else, but it's quite obvious to everyone else that that person is more advanced. If you don't understand, then you won't advance. So it's a key, and that's why Prabhupada expected all of us to become Madhyam Adhikaris. Madhyam Adhikari means you can tell the difference, right? Uttama Adhikari doesn't mind. He's so absorbed in Krishna, he just doesn't mind. So, you know, someone might be advanced and not advanced, a demon. Kanishta cannot tell, because he's too egotistical, you know. Whereas a Madhyam Adhikari can see, okay, this person's more advanced, this person's less advanced, this person's equal, and then he knows how to deal with people, and he follows the proper etiquette. So if you can't work out who is more advanced and you can't understand, you have trouble in spiritual life. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends offer respect to everyone, because then that will nullify a lot of the problems. You know, at least if you offer respect, you become respectful as a person, as a devotee, then a lot of the problems will be overcome. Because even, you know, someone may not be as advanced as us, but still, if we offer respect, then at least there's no chance for offences or improper dealings or things like that. So just be respectful. Second point which is there is that one should only be worshipped according to his adhikar. We shouldn't worship people or offer too much respect to people who don't have the qualification. And we certainly should not expect respect if we don't have the qualification. Right? If you don't have the qualification, because we see, you know, I do it myself sometimes and, you know, I see others do it. You know, wanting respect but not really having the qualification for it. You know, you really have to really show the respect. Really have the qualification. And then if you do have the qualification, you're not going to be attached to the respect. But the point is that we should not wrongly worship someone who is not qualified for that worship. That's not appropriate either. Because that will make things inauspicious. Just like, you know, the example in the temple. Like, so you don't have a big statue of Durga and a small statue of Radha and Krishna. That doesn't make sense, right? Because that means the emphasis is going in the wrong way. It will not lead to auspiciousness. Right? Durga's not happy, Radha and Krishna are not happy, no one, and you're not going to end up happy either. And then when we're dealing with others and amongst devotees also, then if we put someone into a prominent position, and it has happened within ISKCON, we saw the zonal acharya system, you know, Prabhupada left the planet. Prabhupada never said there would only be 11 gurus. That's what happened when Prabhupada left from 1977 till around about 87 or so, for 10 years after Prabhupada left. There were 11 gurus only. Right? Prabhupada never said that. There's nowhere where he said. He said, these 11 will be my Ritvik acharyas. He said that. He said, they will initiate on behalf of me. But he never said they will be the only gurus in ISKCON. He never said that. You know, but somehow it was distorted and misunderstood, and there was personal motivations. And even my Guru Maharaj, he said later on, you know, he had some personal motivation, you know, which later on he overcame, and then he understood that wasn't what Prabhupada actually wanted, because Prabhupada never said that. And we saw that when, because they were accepting worship almost on the level of Prabhupada, without having the qualification or the adhikar of Prabhupada. Yeah, and then it turned inauspicious. People fell down from their positions and all sorts of things took place. Yeah. So if you're going to accept respect from others, you have to have the adhikar. Otherwise, don't accept the respect. Better just be a humble devotee. And then if, you know, if the Vaishnav community, you know, if everyone is encouraging you to take a position where you will accept respect of others, you become like a guru or something like that, then okay, on the blessings and with the encouragement of the devotees, then it can be done. Otherwise, do not do. Just like, you know, His Holiness Bhanuswami, he'll be here next week. I think he'll be in Melbourne next week. He's still, even to now, he's obviously one of the most qualified devotees in ISKCON. He won't accept disciples. His godbrothers have encouraged him. They've asked him to. You know, please accept, Maharaj, please accept disciples. He won't do it. Because he has, you know, a high level of adhikar, he's a very qualified personality, but he's very humble. He's also very intelligent because he realizes that disciples are trouble. It's like having a couple of thousand kids. That's more or less why Maharaj will not do it, I think. You know, because he understands it's problems. And he's not that kind of personality. Maharaj is not that kind of personality. He's a very definite and succinct personality. You go and speak to him, he's just, you know, he'll give you the answer within a couple of minutes and that's it. It's done. You know, disciples like, oh, Guru Maharaj, I've got this problem, that problem. You know, he probably just doesn't have the patience to deal with everyone's minds. So he just doesn't do it. He just says, I won't do it. He gives shiksha, he gives, you know, instruction. But he's obviously qualified to be a spiritual master. The point is, we should not accept, and we should be very careful. We don't put people into positions who don't actually have the adhika. And sometimes I see, you know, other devotees start, you know, offering them too much respect. It's obvious to me they don't have the adhika, and then it creates some problems, both for those who are following and for that person themselves. So you have to be careful. Don't accept, you know, praise and worship and, you know, people giving you respect, you know, unless you really have the qualification. Always keep it on the right level. That's the point. Any points?
Even in normal material life, we see that someone doesn't have a tikka just because of their birth or something, they want to give that respect from others, and it leads to chaos, like whether it's leaders leading the country. In India, it's happening so much. There are some leaders who want to claim respect from others just because they are from the family who have always been prime ministers, and that leads to complete chaos after that, because that tikka isn't there.
What about that new guy, Modi? What's he like?
He's
Trump. I'm asking her. I'm not asking what you. What is he like?
He was a tea seller, so he's really like worked hard and risen up the ranks.
No, but what's he like? Is he a good leader? Or?
Yeah.
He is good.
Very favorable to the Vedic culture.
That's good. Okay.
People who have been worshipped. The Mayavadi sannyasis, the Mayavadi gurus and sannyasis, they are trying to get a lot of respect for themselves. They say they are the Lord and Brahma, they are Narayana.
Okay. Shishupal said, the statement of the Vedas that time is the unavoidable controller of all has indeed been proven true. Since the intelligence of wise elders has now become diverted by the words of a mere boy. Who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? Yeah, Sahadev. Very good. Yeah, Sahadev. Sahadev was the one who said Krishna should be worshipped first. He's saying, who's Sahadev? He's just like, you got great sages sitting everywhere. And you got this young person. Sahadev was the son of the Ashwini Kumaras, who are brahmanas in Swaga, amongst the demigods. They're the doctors amongst the demigods. So, you know, he was known for being incredibly learned. You know, he was like a genius. So when he spoke, people listened. Yeah, he wasn't just like, but you know, but then Shishupal saying, he's just young. You know, you got all these rishis, all these sages, why him? O leaders of the assembly, you know best who is the fit candidate for being honored. Therefore, you should not heed the words of a child when he claims that Krishna deserves to be worshipped. How can you pass over the most exalted members of this assembly, topmost sages dedicated to the absolute truth, endowed with powers of austerity, divine insight, and strict adherence to severe vows, sanctified by knowledge and worshipped even by the rulers of the universe? How does this cowherd boy, the disgrace of his family, deserve your worship any more than a crow deserves to eat the sacred Purudasha rice cake? So, Uddhava Bandhava.
The great commentator Sridhara Swami has analyzed Shishupala's words as follows. The term Gopala means not only cowherd but also protector of the Vedas and the earth. Similarly, Kula Kamsana has a double meaning. Shishupala intended it to mean the disgrace of his family, which is its meaning when divided as above. But the word may also be analyzed as Kulapam Amsana, giving a totally different meaning. Kulapam indicates those who prattle with crooked words contrary to the Vedas, and Amsana, derived from the verb Amsayati, means destroyer. In other words, he was praising Lord Krishna as he who vanquishes all misguided and frivolous speculation about the nature of truth. Similarly, although Shishupala wanted to compare Lord Krishna to a crow with the words Yata Kaka, these words may also be divided Yata A Kaka. In that case, according to Sridhara Swami, the word Kaka is also a combination of Ka and Aka, which indicate material happiness and misery. Thus, Lord Krishna is Akaka, in the sense that he is beyond all material misery and happiness, being on the pure transcendental platform. Finally, Shishupala was right in saying that Lord Krishna does not deserve merely the Purudasha rice cake offered to the lesser demigods as a substitute for the heavenly beverage soma. In fact, Lord Krishna deserved to receive everything that we possess, since he is the ultimate proprietor of everything, including ourselves. Thus, we should give Lord Krishna our life and soul, not merely a ritualistic offering of rice cakes.
Any points? So it's interesting because, as we've seen all through the 10th canto, particularly with the pastimes of the gopis back around the time of the Rasa Lila and so forth, then whenever the Sanskrit is spoken, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says they're speaking in a negative way, but it can also be taken the opposite way if you just change a few of the vowels and the meanings and so forth. So Krishna is sitting there and Shishupala is speaking these words, which are very unpleasant, but Krishna is hearing praises also, because if you take it the other way, he's actually praising Krishna. So Krishna is very intelligent, but he understands that his mood is not correct. So what do we call it when someone's mood is not correct in bhakti?
Pratikul.
What is it?
Pratikul.
Yeah, pratikul. Pratikul means the wrong attitude. The definition of bhakti is anukulyena, Krishna nushilana bhakti uttama. Anukul means
favorable.
Yeah. Means you have the right attitude. You can do the service for Krishna, like you can clean the temple, but you can clean the temple in a very bad attitude. You know, I don't want to be doing this. I'm just doing this because they're forcing me to do it. If I don't do it, they won't feed me. Or you know, whatever you might be thinking. You know, you're thinking, you know, why doesn't Krishna just do it himself? You know, he's the Supreme Lord. Why does he make me do it? You know, so we can think all sorts of things. That's called pratikul. Pratikul means unfavorable. Anukul means you do it, but you're doing it favorably. And that's what bhakti means. Bhakti is anukul. That's the actual definition of bhakti. You can open that door now. Maybe, yeah, open it. Because I think the kids are away, if you want some air going through. Then devotional service must be anukul. Otherwise, it doesn't please Krishna. And it's an important point to understand. Because Shishupal, they've taken three births. So what was the first two births?
Hiranyaksha.
So Hiranyaksha, Shishupal. May have been the same person. I'm not sure which one was which at that birth. But Hiranyaksha, if you go back to the third canto, when he was fighting with Lord Varahadev. And when Varahadev was fighting with Hiranyaksha, he spoke to him very harshly at that time also, just like Shishupal is doing now. Same thing, was insulting the Lord and like that. And it actually says, Prabhupada comments in the purport, the Lord actually felt pain in the heart. Because none of us like to be spoken to, you know. And if someone says, you know, chastises you, you know, it gives some pain. We don't like it. Right? So in the same way, Varahadev, he did not appreciate that Shishupal, that Hiranyaksha was speaking like that. So it's very important that devotional service must be anukul. Pratikul is not good. So it's the intent that the Lord's looking for. Like that. But here Krishna's seeing both. He's saying he's taking the positive things, he's enjoying that, but he's also saying he doesn't have a good attitude. And it's very inappropriate. Like, you know, you're in the just, you know, a very auspicious occasion and then someone does something very inappropriate. Now, just like a few years ago, I wasn't there, but Snan Yatra, and they're bathing the deities. I think it was not last year, the year before. And then some of the devotees on the side, the Pujaris, started having like an argument. You know, the Pujaris arguing with each other. Like that, in front of everyone. And so it's an auspicious occasion and kind of it's very inappropriate. Very inappropriate. So, you know, we should not do like that. An auspicious occasion, everything should be auspicious. So then for Shishupal to do this shows is a very demoniac personality to do something like this.
Very insensitive.
What's that?
Very insensitive.
Yeah, very insensitive. Yeah. So he gets chastised. Yeah. Any points? Okay. How does one who follows no principles of the social and spiritual orders or of family ethics, who has been excluded from all religious duties, who behaves whimsically, and who has no good qualities, how does such a person deserve to be worshipped? This guy's about to get in a lot of trouble. He's saying this to Krishna himself. Right? This is Jagannath Mahaprabhu, do you want to read this?
Srila Prabhupada comments, actually, Krishna does not belong to any caste, nor does he have to perform any occupational duty. It is stated in the Vedas that the Supreme Lord has nothing to do as his prescribed duty. Whatever has to be done on his behalf is executed by his different elements. Shishupal indirectly praised Krishna by saying that he is not within the jurisdiction of Vedic injunction. This is true because he is the Supreme Personality of God. That he has no qualities means that Krishna has no material qualities. Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he acts independently, not caring for conventions or social or religious principles.
Any points?
The depth of meaning is reminding me of how, what do we say, at the end of the day we have to surrender to Krishna. It's either we do it voluntarily or by by force. In the same way, he's offering prayers whether he knows it or not.
Yeah, good. Anything else?
I think I find this is the mystical or omnipotence, you know, where somebody is trying to, you know, transcend the law, but actually by the low maya potency, you know, it is actually being glorifying the law. You can't even, you know, when you have envy, and the Lord is in front, you know, he's, when there's blasphemy, it is glorification.
Yeah, on one level. It's both. From Shishupala's side, it's blasphemy. Krishna is seeing both elements. It's interesting. Krishna sees the good in what the devotee does. One devotee left his body yesterday, up near Mwalamba. Bhima Prabhu distributed a lot of prasadam over the years. He was cooking in Adelaide when I was there 20 years ago and cooked a lot, you know. So Krishna, and then yesterday he left his body on a Kadashi, an auspicious day, a Kadashi. And it made me reflect a lot when I heard the news today that he left yesterday, because yesterday I was in Adelaide. I went to the temple there. My wife was teaching a course there, so I went to. I hadn't been there for 20 years. I used to be the temple president there 20 years ago. I hadn't been there for 20 years. So I was seeing the deities. I hadn't seen the deities for 20 years. So I got to see them again. And then, you know, for me it was symbolic, because, you know, I'm seeing the deities again after such a long time. And then Prabhu, who we served together in Adelaide 20 years ago, he was the restaurant manager, and then he left his body yesterday while I was seeing the deities, not, you know, at that exact time, but on the day, on the Ekadashi. And then it really made me think that Krishna sees all the good that the devotee does, even if there's some shortcoming or some defect in our service. But Krishna sees so much good, and at the end of his life, then, you know, gives so many blessings. So Krishna sees the good. A very important point. It doesn't mean Krishna likes bad behavior. It doesn't mean that we can act bad. We can act incorrectly, and then Krishna will excuse that. At the end, he may overlook it. But particularly if you are offensive towards other devotees or towards Krishna, Krishna does not, you know, tolerate those things. But at the end, he may weigh everything up and he looks at their good. You know, because there's so much good there, so he accepts the good. So, the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, Krishna is called Swarat. What does Swarat mean?
Independent.
Yeah, independent. Krishna can do whatever he wants. Why? No one can stop him. If you could do whatever you could like, and no one could stop you, you would do whatever you like as well. If no one can stop you, you'll do all sorts of things. But we have limitations on us. Krishna doesn't have limitations on him. So he does whatever he wants. So he is the Adi Purush, which means he's the supreme enjoyer. He acts for his enjoyment. So here Shishupala is criticizing Krishna. Right, and people criticize Krishna all the time. I hear people criticize Krishna. Because, you know, it appears from a mundane point of view, he is immoral. So we could argue that from a mundane point of view, Krishna will show immorality. You know, there's certain things that Krishna may do, which may, you know, sometimes he lies. He's a debauchee, an adulterator. You know, there's different things we could say. He steals. You know, there's a number of things you could say that Krishna does, but everything that he does is on the absolute platform. And he has to be seen like that to be understood. And if you understand him like that, then there is no defect. Even though from a material point of view, it may appear there are defects, as Shishupala is pointing out, but there is no defect. Because he is the supreme enjoyer. So what was Shishupala's problem? He hadn't studied the Bhagavatam. He hadn't read the first 9 cantos. Right? Even though he was in Canto 3, you know, Canto 7, even though he's in the Bhagavatam himself, but he obviously hadn't sat down and studied it properly. Because Prabhupada says, if you study it properly, after you get to the end of the first 9 cantos, what will your realization be? This is God. Right? This is the 10th canto. It's confidential. It's elevated. How do you see Krishna? How do you see him? Yeah, through Shastra. But what's your understanding of him at this point in time in your life?
Supreme being.
Yeah, supreme being. Supreme. The more we understand he's the supreme being, then we can accept, okay, now we're in the 10th canto, you're doing things which... according to this world, may be questionable, but you're the supreme being. So we worship you for doing that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the most strict renunciant, like he was the crest jewel of the sannyasis, the most strict of the sannyasis, he worshipped Krishna. And he was the most, he wouldn't have anything to do with women, very strict, very, powerful in his vows like that, but he worshipped Krishna. He thought about Krishna day and night. So someone who's so, from this world's perspective, so strict in his code of conduct, but he worships Krishna as the absolute truth, this shows that Krishna is an ordinary person. Uddhava also. Uddhava was very super intelligent person, but he worships Krishna as the supreme person. So many personalities. So in the assembly, anyone who was intelligent understood Krishna was the most qualified person. That Shishupal, because he was envious then.
The demonic persons, they did not, Duryodhana and other demonic persons, they did not identify Krishna as the Supreme Lord. They thought, because they could not identify him as the Supreme Lord, they thought that he is like doing some mystic powers with some mystic powers, he is doing some Maya type. They were always lifting the Govardhan Hill and doing this Leela and everything. They were thinking that he is just a mystic, showing some powers.
Good.
At least one thing is, this is the item, but Duryodhana actually doesn't object to Krishna being worshipped. He had more envy towards the Pandavas, but he didn't have any problems with Krishna being worshipped, like Shishupal is displaying right now.
But he was arresting God. He arrested God. He ordered to arrest the God.
Whether or not he didn't have any problems with it, but sometimes you've got a problem with something, but you see you can't do anything about it. So, it may not have sat well with him, but he may have been limited in his ability to change what was taking place. So, because it's said in a few verses that he was not happy. So it wasn't like he was happy with the whole situation. But you're right, he was envious of the Pandavas, but he wasn't. He didn't show himself as being a devotee at the same time. It wasn't like he was good with Krishna. As Lila Maya said, he did try to capture Krishna before the war. At least for devotees, we should realize sometimes you can't do something about something. You have to know. You can't do something about this. Sometimes you have to back a little bit. If you can't change something, just back a little bit and pray to Krishna, and Krishna will take care of things. Krishna takes care of everything. Krishna will take care. Even if we can't take care. These Yadavas have abandoned the holy lands inhabited by saintly sages and have instead taken shelter. Did I miss or not miss?
Yes. 36.
I didn't do 36. Okay, sorry. Yayati cursed the dynasty of these Yadavas, and ever since then they have been. I need my glasses. Yeah, no, but I need my glasses. I've got to still read a bit more. Can someone just run out to my car quickly? Nitesh, come here, quick. I thought I'd be okay, but. Just run out quick. You know my car?
I know.
So it was in the back. There's a black box. Open up the black box. Glasses are in there. The case. Just bring them. It's good. Okay. Yayati cursed the dynasty of those Yadavas, and ever since then they have been ostracized by honest men and addicted to liquor. How then does Krishna deserve to be worshipped? So he's saying more and more ridiculous things as time goes by. The point is that according to the association that you keep in this world, you will either be raised up or you will go down. So there's no doubt that the Yadu dynasty were pure people. And because they were pure, by their association, even Krishna gets benefited. Even God himself gets benefited by pure association. So you cannot say that they were, you know, taking people down. They were exalted personalities. But the demoniac spirit is that they will criticize even the most saintly people. You know, Prabhupada was criticized. And people criticize devotees all the time. They say, oh, devotees are like this, aren't like that. No, devotees, you can't understand. They don't have the qualification to understand what devotees are like. You know, devotees are saintly people. You know, even though, you know, we're not like high level saints, but we're saintly people. I mean, in the sense that, thank you. Thanks, man. In the sense that compared to what's going on outside, the non-devotees, devotees are saintly people. You know, and when you associate with saintly people, then you become elevated. No? So because Krishna was in the Yadu dynasty, these were elevated people. No? But they, like, Shishupala lacked the qualification to see the Yadu dynasty. He was a demon, so he sees in a demoniac way. These Yadavas have abandoned the holy lands inhabited by saintly sages and have instead taken shelter of a fortress in the sea, a place where no Brahminical principles are observed. There, just like thieves, they harass their subjects. It's a very important point. By improper speech, we can destroy our lives. It's an important point. Be very careful what you say. Rupa Goswami says this in the start. Vacho vegam, manasakrota vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. Right? Understand these different things. Right? If you can't control what you speak, and that's why it is also mentioned, you have to control anger. Because generally we say things when we're angry that we don't mean to say. Have you ever done that? When you're angry, you said something and then later on you thought, why did I say that? Has anyone ever done that? Yeah, two people have done that. Okay. Now everyone else begins to. Yeah. I think sometimes we say things and later on you think, oh my God, why did I say that? You know, I know sometimes when I get angry, and it doesn't happen too often, but sometimes you get really angry and you just say things. And you look later and think, you know, was I mentally insane? Who would say that? Why would I say that? But then even when you're saying it, you think, this is crazy. You've lost control. So you'll just say anything. So we have to take accountability. And that's why you have to control your anger. Because if you control it, then you control, generally you control your speech. Otherwise you might say all sorts of things. Yeah. There's one saying, it says, a goat will eat anything and a madman will say anything. So when you're in a mad state of consciousness, you'll say anything. Right? And then you've got to live with it for the rest of your life. And you see on this earth, wars have started. Just because one person said the wrong thing to the other person. Remember in 1963? Yeah, you don't remember because we weren't alive, but most of us weren't alive. But in 1963, there was a Cuban Missile Crisis. Did you hear about that? In Cuba, you know, Cuba, near America. The Russians were setting up missile launching pads in Cuba. Because then, you know, if there was a nuclear war or something, they could just hit America in 3 minutes from there. You know, the missile would just go like that. So they were sending the missiles down to set up because the Cubans were allowing the Russians to do that. So the Americans sent their ships there and the Russians were coming. And I mean, it was that close to the whole thing turning into, you know, a war. Could have been World War III. No, it could have been very, very serious. You know, Russia would have been all on. That was that close, literally. And because Kennedy was their president at that time, because he was a little restrained, he restrained himself, because he could have just, you know, we're America, we're stronger, like this. You know, because he restrained himself a little bit, and then he wrote to whoever the leader was over in Russia at the time, you know, and they spoke a little sanely, then it all pacified down. You know, So this is what, you know, wars start over just a few words. You know, if Kennedy had said the wrong thing at that time, the whole world would have been affected. This is how it works. So you have to learn to control your speech. Shishupal can't do anything at this point. And see how it ends up. In the next few verses, we're going to see how it ends up. Right? Another point is, the devotees like to reside in holy places. Hands up if you like coming to the temple. Oh, good. I'm very surprised. Brinda, do you like the temple? Is it nice? What do you like about it? Hey, for God, what's this guy? Every time. What's wrong with you? What do you like about the temple?
We get to play.
Get to play, okay. Not the answer I was looking for, but okay, Yogi, now you can speak.
No, I was just saying, reading storybooks in the temple, that's what you like.
What? So, but we come to the temple, why? No? Because it's a holy place. And it has an effect on our consciousness. And that's why Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, these places, they have spiritual energy. They're very powerful. No? And they have a deep effect on the consciousness. Shishupala is saying, oh, Krishna's gone to live in the ocean in Dwarka. There's no Brahminical culture there. Of course there's Brahminical culture there. Now, Krishna, this chapter is coming up where Krishna worships the Brahmanas. You know, when Sudama Brahmana comes to, you know, in a few chapters we'll read about that pastime. Krishna worship. Right, so it's the most holy place. Now, it's an interesting point. What makes a holy place holy? Why is this temple holy? Right? Because there is Brahminical culture. Right? Because we're performing Brahminical activities. What are we doing right now? This is purely Brahminical culture. What are the Brahmanas have six activities. What are the two most important activities? They study scripture, they teach scripture. Right? They're the two most important activities. And Prabhupada himself says, if we just worship the deity, but don't preach, which is what we're doing now, don't have Krishna Katha, he said the temple will close. Right? And he said, he actually says the devotees will start smoking marijuana. Prabhupada says that. He said, if they just worship the deity, they'll end up just smoking marijuana because they'll just do it as a business and they'll fall down from there. And even in Vrindavan, I know very prominent temples in Vrindavan, like one, some of the most famous temples in Vrindavan. The pandas who run the temple, they're drunkards. They drink. You know, and everyone knows. But all the pilgrims come every year, you know, and they all throw money in the hundi and they make good money, but they don't follow. So this is the point, that a temple becomes a temple, becomes a holy place when there is Brahminical culture. Yeah. And I was reading this today and it inspired me a lot. You know, we have to practice and spread this Brahminical culture. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Right? And we have to preach all over Australia. This is our Prabhu Datta Desh. Prabhu Datta Desh means? The place which is given to you by your Prabhu. Your Prabhu means your spiritual master on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you are here, it's our responsibility to deliver Australia. Yari Deke, Tare Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amara, Agyaya. Lord Chaitanya says, on my order. Right? If you have a problem with this instruction, go and speak to Lord Chaitanya because he's right there. Amara Agaya Guru Hana Tara Edesh. On my order, you become a guru and you preach. What does a guru mean? You go and preach Krishna Upadesh to everyone in Australia. That's our responsibility. And it's not easy. I just went to Adelaide. I hadn't been there for 20 years. And I gave class in the morning to the devotees. And guess how many Western devotees were in the class?
2, 0, 1.
Me and my wife. And we were visiting. All Indian devotees. And if I'm sitting here giving class right now, how many Western devotees? 1, 2. Right? Everyone else. And if I give class tomorrow morning, like that. What does that mean? It means it's not easy to make the Western people devotees. right? It's twice as hard, or 10 times as hard, or 100 times as hard to make a Western person a devotee. But Lord Chaitanya has ordered us, we must preach in this area. That was Prabhupada's instruction. Prabhupada went, Brahmananda Prabhu went to Kenya, Nairobi, in Africa. Prabhupada said, don't just preach to the Indians. Because when he got there, he was preaching to the Indian. Prabhupada said, don't. He said, go and preach to the black people. Prabhupada said that to him. He said, don't just preach to the Indians. So that's, we have to spread this Brahminical culture.
Even for book distribution, it's very difficult to distribute to the Western people.
No, it's not actually. You just got to learn how to do it. Yeah, you just got to learn how to do it. It's not actually. The Western people will take the books. When I used to distribute, it was mainly to Western people. Mainly Western people. They'll take the books. You just have to learn how to do it, that's all. Okay. Which verse are we on?
Eight.
Okay. Shukadeva Goswami continued, bereft of all good fortune, Shishupal spoke these and other insults, but the Supreme Lord said nothing, just as a lion ignores a jackal's cry. Upon hearing such intolerable blasphemy of the Lord, several members of the assembly covered their ears and walked out, angrily cursing the king of Chedi. So it says that if we hear blasphemy of the Lord or the devotees, you have three options. What are the three options? Walk away. Cut off their tongue. And? Yeah, and defeat them. They're the three options. Right? You walk away, you defeat them, or you cut out their tongue. Right? So cut out the tongue is not an option because you'll go to jail. So that's not an option. Walking away is an option. Sometimes you just have to walk away. You know, there's devotees I know who, I would say too often they criticize other devotees. So I just keep away from them. You know, I see them on Hare Krishna, you know, offer them respect and everything, but I don't associate with them. Because they're just always criticizing other devotees. It's not good. You know, so you either walk away or you defeat them. You say, you know, Prabhu, that's not correct. And say, oh, so and so, you know, how do you know they did that? How do you know they said that? You know, are you actually criticizing them or are you just speaking criticism of them just because you like to criticize? So you have three options, basically. So here, many of the people, when they heard them speaking, Shishupala speaking to Krishna, they just blocked their ears and they just ran out. Didn't want to be there. Anyone who fails to immediately leave the place where he hears criticism of the Supreme Lord or his faithful devotee will certainly fall down, bereft of his pious credit. Nice verse, huh? Memorize that one. I might give it to you as a KMV. That's a very good verse. Then the sons of Pandu became furious, and together with the warriors of the Matsya, Kaikaya, and Srinjaya clans, they rose up from their seats with weapons poised, ready to kill Shishupal. So everyone got up, ready to kill him. That's what we should do. We should defend Krishna or Krishna's devotees. If someone's criticizing Krishna, you have to defend them. I've told the pastime before that Bhima was ready to get up because Bhima was going to rip Shishupala apart. Right? And then Bhishma was sitting next to him and with one hand he was holding him there. Right? He just held him. I mean, Bhima was the most powerful man on the earth. And Bhishma was so powerful. With one hand he just held him. And he said, just wait, Krishna will take care of it. He said, don't worry, Krishna will take care of it. So Bhima was ready to get up and he was going to destroy him. Shows how powerful Bhishma was. Bhishma was. Undaunted, Shishupal then took up his sword and shield in the midst of all the assembled kings of Bharata and hurled insults at those who sided with Lord Krishna. At that point, the Supreme Lord stood up and checked his devotees. He then angrily sent forth his razor-sharp disc and severed the head of his enemy as he was attacking. So there was a big concern at this point in time, because if you spill blood in a sacrifice, everything is contaminated. It's like, you know, if someone's getting initiated, you know, one of the Maharajas is out there doing a yajna, you know, and then someone starts punching another devotee, and then blood starts, it's very inauspicious. You know, blood goes everywhere, especially back then, because everything was on a different level of purity. Very inauspicious. So Krishna, he thought to himself, right, I could kill him right now, or I could let Bhima kill him. But if Bhima kills him, there's going to be blood everywhere, right? Or if he attacks anyone, there's going to be blood. And Krishna's thinking, this is very inauspicious. Yudhisthira has done so much effort to perform this Rajasriya sacrifice. So Krishna just said chakra, and chakra just manifested, and he said, and it says that he cut off his head in such a way that no blood was to hit the ground. I think there's a pastime from memory. It's not written here, but I think Yudhisthira, maybe one drop of blood goes or something. Someone catches it. There's some pastime, but I can't remember the details. But Krishna's so expert that somehow he cut his head off without any blood actually touching. The basic point is that Krishna always will be there for the devotee. That's the point. Krishna will always be there for the devotee. When Shishupal was thus killed, a great roar and howl went up from the crowd. Taking advantage of that disturbance, the few kings who were supporters of Shishupal quickly left the assembly out of fear for their lives. An effulgent light rose from Shishupal's body, and as everyone watched, entered Lord Krishna just like a meteor falling from the sky to the earth. So the details are not given there, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes a very interesting comment. Jayan Vijay were cursed to come for three births. So this is third birth. So it's time now, they can go back. So his Atma came out of the body and then it flew to Vaikuntha in a moment, like all the way to Vaikuntha. But when it got to Vaikuntha, he saw Vaikunthanath, Lord Narayan. And when he saw Lord Narayan, he realized, his soul realized, he's non-different from Krishna. So then he just, in an instant, he said like a meteor, his soul just went back down and flew straight into Krishna. So when it says that someone gets Suyuja Mukti, which means they merge into Krishna, they don't actually merge into Krishna's body, but into the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence. So he's merged like that into the effulgence. And then it says that when Krishna finished the earthly pastimes, then he was reinstated in his original position. But then we know on Gopanim, you know, the pastime will be there of Jagai and Madhai. So they came a fourth time. But that is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. But the fourth time they came, and they were given prema by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which shows that Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful than Krishna. Because Krishna did not give prema. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave prema too. After an effulgent light, did I just read that? Obsessed with hatred of Lord Krishna throughout three lifetimes, Shishupal attained the Lord's transcendental nature. Indeed, one's consciousness determines one's future birth. Emperor Yudhisthira gave generous gifts to the sacrificial priests and the members of the assembly, properly honoring them all in the manner prescribed by the Vedas. He then took the Avabrita bath. Thus, Sri Krishna, the Lord of all masters of mystic yoga, saw to the successful execution of this great service, of this great sacrifice, on behalf of King Yudhisthira. Afterwards, the Lord stayed with his intimate friends for a few months at their earnest request. So Krishna is ruled by? Yeah, the devotees, by the love of the devotees. So he stayed for a few months. You can't just perform the Rajasuri sacrifice and then just leave. So he stayed with everyone for a few months. His desire actually was to go to Vrindavan. But that happens soon. He doesn't go right now, but he will go in a few chapters. But he wants to go to Vrindavan. But there's still a few more things to do. Then the Lord, the son of Devaki, took the reluctant permission of the king and returned to his capital with his wives and ministers. I have already described to you in detail the history of the two residents of Vaikuntha who had to undergo repeated births in the material world because of being cursed by brahmanas. Purified in the final avabhrita ritual, which marked the successful completion of the Rajasuya sacrifice, King Yudhishthira shone among the assembled brahmanas and kshatriyas like the king of the demigods himself. The demigods, humans, and residents of intermediate heavens, all properly honored by the king, happily set off for their respective domains while singing the praises of Lord Krishna and the great sacrifice. All were satisfied except sinful Duryodhana, the personification of the age of quarrel and the disease of the Kuru dynasty. He could not bear to see the flourishing opulence of the sons of Pandu. So there's an interesting point there that Duryodhana's consciousness was contaminated by what?
Envy.
Envy? Yeah, and specifically it says in this purport, it says sin. When you perform sin, pap, your consciousness becomes contaminated. Therefore it says, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. Because when you do those four, it will contaminate the consciousness. That's why they have to be avoided. And devotees cannot do those things, they'll become very powerful. One who recites these activities of Lord Vishnu, including the killing of Shishupal, the deliverance of the kings, and the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice, is freed from all sins. So how do we become free from sin? Krishna Katha. You have to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudev Katha Ruchi. By hearing the Bhagavatam, you'll become free from sin, the desire to commit sin. So this pastime, Rajasuri sacrifice, it establishes that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. The whole purport of the Bhagavatam is established in this pastime. Because anyone could have been worshipped in that assembly, but Krishna was chosen. Okay, so tomorrow we'll start chapter 75. Duryodhana humiliated. Another interesting chapter.